Good afternoon, and welcome to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey, alongside Matt Tritton, as we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. And it's a cold day outside, but we've got a lot to talk about inside here at Pizza Ranch as Northwest Missouri State Athletics. Again, it's a busy time of year with the winter sports going on and the spring sports trying to get some things going, although the weather has been a little bit of a hindrance for baseball and softball. But tennis, they were able to get their first match of the season completed last Friday in Liberty against William Jewell, and of course track and field continues to roll.
Yeah, the benefit of having that opportunity to go inside and play there for tennis, so they were able to get a little bit going there. But softball had their games in St. Louis wiped out due to weather. Also, baseball had the weekend off. They're supposed to be in Springfield today taking on Drury, but of course the weather not allowing that to happen either. So we'll kind of see how things play out this upcoming weekend. Baseball's supposed to be on the road opening things up in Joplin against Missouri Southern as far as conference play goes. And then, of course, softball at the Washburn Invite. That's supposed to be rolling Friday through Sunday, so we'll kind of see what the rest of the week holds as far as rain, snow, ice, all that kind of going through the area. But at this point, those are on. We're going to talk to those teams, those coaches a little bit, but some positives for everybody to talk about right now.
And basketball heading south. Hopefully we can make it down to Tahlequah, Oklahoma without any incidents with the weather. So we're just hoping the forecast shapes up pretty good for Thursday travel as they face Northeastern State on Thursday, then the trek over to Fort Smith, Arkansas. First time that the two teams will face Arkansas, Fort Smith as MIAA opponents, and it should be an interesting weekend with all that in mind.
Yeah, you can't thank the MIAA enough. I think the only school that has to make all the three long road trips, the Hayes, Kearney. We've already had Edmond, Oklahoma, and Claremore, Oklahoma. Let's go ahead and tack on a Tahlequah and a Fort Smith, luckily with potentially bad weather all weekend. So thank you to the MIAA for that. But this is a chance for both teams to go down and pick up a couple more wins. We think about the women's team took down Missouri Southern Thursday. Boy, they were that close to knocking off number 5 Pittsburgh State, giving them their first conference loss of the season, and led the entire game until about the 8-second mark whenever Grace Pyle got a layup that put Pittsburgh State on top, and they held on to win that one. But you still saw a lot of good things out of them. So if they can come out and duplicate some of those performances this week, and you feel good about coming away with victories, and the men's team too. Boy, it's not often you see a 24-0 run in a game of any kind. The men trailing by 23 did just that, took a brief lead over Pittsburgh State. Not enough to sustain and win that one down the stretch, but you are seeing some guys step up and make plays, and including Javion Byers, who really has been a force within the last week or so.
Yeah, Javion moving into the starting lineup and doing well there. And you look at the Northwest women moving up in the KPI poll a little bit for the MIAA standings.
Yep, they are up from 10th to 8th, so they were already in the MIAA tournament, if you will. It's the top 10 that get in, but getting that win over Missouri Southern, that helps. That bumps them up a couple spots. Then you think about Northeastern State right now. They're in 10th this week. Also, Fort Smith is in 6th, so Northwest can take down a team behind them, but also a chance to climb up a little bit further if they can take down Fort Smith on Saturday as well. So you feel pretty good about this team and what they've done and their chances of getting into that MIAA tournament. So, again, if you go to the website, the standings don't reflect the seeding for the MIAA tournament. That's going to be pulled from the KPI. So it's just kind of week to week of seeing how that plays out based on schedules and who's played who and obviously wins and losses. But it feels like this team, with the games they've got ahead of them and the difficult North schedule, they should find their way into Kansas City.
And, you know, on the men's side, the trip down to Oklahoma and Arkansas virtually looked like might be a little bit of an easier trip, but you look at what happened to Washburn last weekend. They made that same trek down there, and the number one team in the nation, and 2 losses to Northeastern State and Arkansas Fort Smith.
Yeah, the MIAA, I mean, they're even the teams that might be a little bit lower on the totem pole still will come out and give you battles and play some good ball, and we see that this weekend with Washburn, who at times this year has been absolutely untouchable, but everybody gearing up, the number one team in the country, they're undefeated, they're going to get everyone's best shot, and so they took it with an overtime loss against Fort Smith, couldn't bounce back against the Riverhawks, and got swept with that weekend trip, so you know they're dangerous. Maybe there's a chance, though, you roll in, and they're sitting a little bit fat and happy at this point, too, that Northwest can come out and get it a roll early and knock them off. So we'll see Northeastern Thursday, Fort Smith on Saturday. Obviously, we're rooting for Fort Smith on Thursday to take out down Missouri Western, too, not just to see the Griffins lose, but, again, to kind of feel good about themselves. Maybe the Bearcats come in and find a way to knock them off.
Again, we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch on the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and Altar and Home. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into Pizza Ranch here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're talking Northwest Missouri State track and field as the Bearcats coming off a weekend with a couple different meets, splitting things up just a bit. The Ichabod Invitational on Friday in Topeka, Kansas. The Gorilla Classic down in Pittsburgh, Kansas on Friday and Saturday. We are joined by Northwest Missouri State head coach Brandon Masters, also a junior from the men's track side, Dom Sedlacek. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us. And, Coach, let's just start with the overview of the weekend with the team kind of going two different directions and not a huge contingent either one, but still coming away with some really good performances, including Dom with us today.
Yeah, you know, we had a week off for a lot of people, kind of working through tuning up for MIAAs, and we needed to get in, go down and get some competition in a couple of places. You'd mentioned Washburn and Joel. He ran really well there at Washburn, and we need to get him on a bank track for the 200. And then we sent a small group down to Pitt State to run. Great meet, great competition, and that's why we sent those guys.
Well, Dom with us here today and coming out and rolling through the Gorilla Classic, winning the 60-meter dash. And first, we think about how this rolls, Dom. You go out and you break the school record in the prelims. You finish second just by an eyelash, but you break the school record, which you set in Topeka a little bit earlier in the year. Then you go out and just go ahead and win the whole thing and knock off the young man from Little Rock, who was running really well overall, too. What do you take away from that weekend? Obviously, winning that's pretty cool, but you're still building toward more and more, right?
For sure. Basically, I kind of just went into the race, kind of a quote that Coach says all the time, is kind of control what I can control. So went into the race, and then the dude from Little Rock actually beat me at Washburn a couple of weeks prior. So basically I kind of went in, I'm like, no way I'm letting this dude beat me again. So I went in the race and finals. Unfortunately, yeah, I mean, 674 is still fast, but obviously not fast enough for me since I'm trying to go 6.6. But basically went in, kind of saw the dude next to me. I'm like, said good luck to him, but in my mind and body, I'm like, I'm not letting this dude beat me again.
Yeah, the win is important. Right, as we move to the championship segment of our season, nobody cares about time, right? You've got to get into the right races. You go to MIAAs and win is a win. You know, top three is top three. It's all points. Nobody cares about time. Dom's now run fast enough that we believe he'll be in the national meet and have that opportunity to compete in Indianapolis in a few weeks. And And when you go there, it's all about survive and advance. And he had that mentality and mindset going in. That was the whole plan, just go down there and just let it go. Let's go compete. And we have the technical stuff ironed out now, and it's the programming is setting him up to run really fast. And he went down and competed. And winning a college meet's tough, especially one of that caliber. That's a big meet, and to do that was a huge thing for us.
Dom, coming up a junior now, but you think about those first couple of years and maybe trying to establish yourself, is a weird kind of flipping from get the time, get the provisional mark, find my way into that national meet, and then flipping into the conference, and then of course the Nationals coming up later on, to where it isn't as much about time as much as beating that guy next to you. Is it kind of a flipping your mind early in this season to late to thinking about beating that guy on the other lane?
Yeah, all I remember is from last year when we were at Washburn at conference, and I knew that that was actually going to be a good meet for me, and I believe I probably would have got into Nationals, but I false started. So I kind of had this sour taste in my mouth from last year, and basically I was just kind of talking to myself this season, telling me, you know, I got to do good this season because I know how much pressure is on me, because I know I have a chance to possibly win the 60. So I think it's just kind of holding myself to a standard because I know what I can do.
Yeah, I think that also, he's a big team guy, and so we have big goals this year for this men's team, and he factors into a big part of that, and getting him there to experience that. He's so consistent. If you look at him through the year, he's so consistent. Guys like that do really well at the national meet.
We're talking Northwest Track and Field with head coach Brandon Masters, also a junior sprinter at Dom Sedlacek. Coach, he's got the record at 6.71 in the 60-meter dash. Set it prior at 6.72 earlier this year. I mean, those are just an eyelash, right? Right? In the common man, that's nothing. In track terms, he's trying to get down to 6.6. I mean, those are some pretty big jumps throughout this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And people don't understand that the difference between, you know, 6.69 and 6.79 is an eternity. And just this small amount is a big deal that he's done this year. I mean, he was chasing, I think Enrico had it before, 6.74, you know, that's a big jump. And Dom made a great improvement, but he put the work in, you know, and you know, being a junior, you understand what's on the table here. You know, we know who we are as a team and where he wants to be, and he's put the work in, and now he's told me all year long, and this started very beginning of the year, 6.6 this year, coach, I'm going to run 6.6, I'm doing it. And he's the king of manifestation. The guy says stuff and he goes and gets it done. So I have no doubt he's gonna go get that mark. And we have a few more weeks to get that, but the training will line up where he's going to peak at Nationals, and he'll get it.
Conference meets coming up at the end of this month in the first portion of March. Then, of course, March 13th through the 15th, the national championships. Dom, last year you were sitting mid to high 6.7s, and now all of a sudden we're talking about climbing into the 6.6s. At this point for you, how much of that's physical, how much of that is technical that has allowed you to shave off so much time?
I think it's probably both 50-50. I think what we've been doing in the weight room since we got Logan instead of Jordan now, I've noticed the atmosphere in there is a little different. With Jordan last year, I noticed we could kind of joke around a little bit. But this year, I can tell we're a lot more focused and a lot more serious in the weight room. So, and I can tell I've been lifting a lot more weight. Like, over the summer, I lifted three times instead of last year, it was two. Because I know that in order for me to go and get strive and do better, I got to lift more and do more weight and run faster. So,
It's a power to weight ratio that we talk about, right? And you know, Jordan was awesome for us in first couple of years as these guys mature. And Logan came in; he's very aggressive. I love that. He's a big part of what we do. And these guys are taking it really seriously in the weight room this year. And so we've really just taken the program and made it more aggressive. It shows our. The weight that these guys are lifting is incredible, and the power is incredible. So, and that helps us specifically in the sprint world.
And then, for the technicality part, especially for the 60, if your start isn't down to the minute details, you basically go from like what we had last year, where I was at 6.7 high, to now trying to get 6.6. So, definitely in the 60, it's definitely a lot more technical than it would be for like the 2 and the 4.
So. Even the 100. I mean, we have the start for the 60 and the start for the 100. And if you miss that start, you're done. There's no time to make it up. There's no degradation of top speed at the end of the race like there is in the 100. Right? We can carry that top speed through 60, but it's tough to carry it all the way through the 100. And it's all about slowing down the least in the 100, right, versus the 60. There's just no time.
We're talking Bearcat track and field as Northwest Missouri State nearing the end of the regular season. One more meet before on to the MIAA Indoor Track and Field Championships, which will be here in Maryville. But, Coach, the Friday night lights on a Saturday, the last chance meet, is coming up this weekend. Give us an overview of how many teams, athletes will be in it overall, but also the contingent for Northwest.
Well, everybody's like, okay, Friday Night Lights has always been our thing, right? So why did you name it Friday Night Lights on Saturday?
I like it. It's catchy.
It's for a reason. People didn't know this until just now. We got the invite into Arkansas on Friday night. And so we are taking a select group down, really to run on the oval. It's a 200 bank. I got access to it finally, and that's the whole idea of having Friday Night Lights on Saturday, because I can take that group down to Arkansas and run. And again, to get on the bank, a lot of 200, 400 people, 4x4 for the ladies. You know, as far as the name, that's why. Now it makes sense, right? But for the meet on Saturday, there's three or four teams coming. That's it. It's so tiny and on purpose. You know, we don't want a lot of pressure. It's a great atmosphere in that it's super low key, and we can get a lot of the kids that are trying to make that conference time and try to make the conference bus. You know, that conference team, this is their last opportunity. It's a great opportunity for some of our kids to make a national mark without the pressure of conference. And so, you know, Central Missouri will be up here. Mo West, of course, will be up here, and we have a few other teams that are bringing small groups. So I can't imagine but a, you know, 150 athletes, which is crazy tiny compared to what the monster that we just had in the Bearcat, which had almost 1,300 athletes. So it's a lot different situation, and we love this meet because our kids can focus on just going ahead and running fast without that pressure.
Well, you kind of touched on it there, too. We've seen some big meets come through Bearcats in Hughes Fieldhouse in the last few years and this season as well, but also hosting the Heart of America Athletic Conference meet once again. I don't know how many folks kind of realize that, but that's schools from all around the area, NAIA schools coming into Maryville, bringing a lot of athletes. And one thing that we talked about off the air, that's pretty big economically for the city, not just track and field.
Right. We fill the field house, right? And we do it on a weekly basis, it seems like right now. I'm exhausted from hosting. But the Heart of America is a great conference, you know, regionally here, 12, 13 teams, depending on gender. And these guys, they bring their whole teams, and they spend the night. And there are a lot of food eaten with these kids over the course of 3 days, and then we had a youth meet, our largest youth meet on Sunday as well this weekend, and it had over I think 400 athletes, something like that, and from all over the place. So yeah, we do bring a lot of people into town, and when they come into town, it's typically an overnight, and they're eating at all of our establishments here, and hopefully bring a lot of income into the town.
Well, it's always good to see that place filled up with buses, cars, folks coming in for Northwest Missouri State Track and Field and other events that you guys hold, like the Youth in the Heart of America. Right. But another good season, and not done just yet. Of course, Friday Night Lights on Saturday, and then, of course, the MIAAs that following weekend. So you're not out of the woods yet, but
no,
you're getting close.
We're getting close. MIAAs is a tough one. We're excited to have it home. I know Dom appreciates that and knows that track well. And it's going to be, I tell the kids, it's hard to slay a dragon in its own backyard. And we're going to have that mentality. And the kids are going to sleep in their own bed, which is nice, and then come in and compete at home, which a big advantage here. And it's one of the fastest tracks in the country, and Dom knows that. That's why he's not going to Arkansas. We're going to work through this meet. He did a great job at Pittsburgh last weekend. We're going to work through the weekend in preparation to, really the fastest conference in the country. Keep in mind that the top eight's like 6.73.
Yeah.
It's unreal speed in this conference. So he doesn't need to go anywhere to have the competition. So his goal is to go out there and, no matter the time, survive in advance. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully we get the start we need and win the thing. That's the whole goal for MIAAs for him.
off and rolling. We'll see, Dom, of course, the MIAAs, the national championships following March 13th through the 15th in Indianapolis. No pressure, but we'll be looking for six sixes.
Hopefully.
That's the goal.
You'll know he'll be happy if they see he stays out on the scoreboard.
As Northwest Missouri State head track and field coach Brandon Masters, also Dom Sedlacek, a junior from the squad. Guys, appreciate you coming on. Good luck this weekend and the next few weeks as well.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Back with more here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV, KRNW, comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for KXCV, KRNW, comes from Compass Dental Group, providing full-service dentistry from braces and implants to same-day crowns and more. From Drs. Bruce Twaddle, Brian Viertaler, and Spencer Twaddle, Compass Dental Group proudly supports the Bearcats. For more information, CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at MaryvilleForum.com or at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at PizzaRanch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're talking Northwest Missouri State softball. We've got head coach Naomi Tejas with us, as well as a pair of corner outfielders and juniors, Alexis Brown and Omara Love. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us. Coach, no games last weekend. Obviously, things out in St. Louis wiped out because of weather. So what did you do with a free weekend?
We didn't get outside. We did live at bats Wednesday and Friday. And then we got the weekend off and went back at it on Monday.
Lexi, is this hard to have that break mid? I mean, nine games in, you're trying to get into the rhythm of the season, and all of a sudden, boom, like weather hits, and it's expected to an extent here, but it also kind of derails momentum. How do you handle it as a player?
Yeah, it was definitely a weird thing thinking about it, but we had been practicing inside all of January and into February, so kind of transitioning back a little bit, taking time to regroup ourselves to prepare ourselves for the next tournaments coming up.
Omar, is there a benefit, too, to kind of hit the reset button, have a chance to kind of take that deep breath and more focus on yourself individually as opposed to going out and obviously trying to win games?
Yeah, I think the 2 days was a good reset for our bodies just to kind of rejuvenate. I mean, we were able to get back to practice and really hit the ground running, just kind of working on hitting, doing our live at-bats like Coach said, and really preparing for this next upcoming week. I know it's kind of unusual to have that long of a break, but I think we've taken it to a really good advantage for our team.
Northwest Missouri State 4-5 on the season, set to be in the Washburn Invitational this week, and that starts on Friday. Coach, we are still full go for that, right?
I don't know. I mean, we'll play at some point in time.
At some point, games will come back around.
Yeah, at some point in time, because I think they're just getting slammed with snow, so we'll figure that out. We'll be flexible, but 50 degrees is in the forecast.
It's so, around the corner. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
Just got to get there. Mention your guests, Lexi Brown and Omara Love, and a pair of players that have been with you for 3 years. Staples in the corner outfield at this point. Obviously, top of the lineup, too. But how comforting is that to have a couple players like this that you can rely on and just know daily you're going to be penciling them in same spots?
I mean, I think for our program in general, like the way that these two play is kind of how we want to be and what we're looking for. And both of them are very dynamic offensively. And in the outfield, they can go chase down anything. And it brings us a lot of stability. We know there's a way that Lexi's probably going to get on somewhere or another, and Omar's right behind her to drive her in.
Lexi, sitting here, right fielder, you're batting second. Omar's left field, batting third. Obviously, Lily's leading off, and she's playing center. The outfield is well represented at the top of that lineup, and all three of you have played all nine games to this point. Is there a little bit of comfort in the fact of knowing, all right, Lily's going to get on base for me, and Amara's going to drive me in, and things are going to kind of work out that way?
Yeah, I love the spot that I'm at. To with Lily leading off, she's going to do her thing, and then I know I can advance her, whatever's going to happen. I know Mamara's right behind me to also help advance us. And, yeah, it's just really comforting knowing that someone in front of me and someone behind me is going to have my back or pick up where I left off.
Amara, same thing. I mean, batting third, having those two in front of you, gives you quite a few RBI opportunities and a chance to kind of hit the ball and just let them fly. Do you kind of get a good feeling of, all right, there's going to be one or two on for me every time I step up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I know that our girls have speed, and it's great to know that I can rely on them to just be on base no matter who's on. And just knowing that whatever hit that I get, that they have the enough speed to even get one or two bases, any extra bases that are available. So it's really comforting to know that I have to look ahead and to know that they're in front of me to have that opportunity.
What the growth factor for you two as well? Same signing class. You come to Northwest Missouri State at the same time. You've come up under Coach Tellez. How have you seen yourself develop but also build that bond with someone like Lexi?
I think the past 3 years have just been amazing. Me and Lexi really got close last year, especially, and just our bus rides and different things like that, and us also just playing in the outfield together and coming in together. It's been amazing. You can just see just the fun and all the excitement that we have when we're together. It's just a different kind of vibe, and just knowing that I have her with me for the past 3 years and one more year, it's just really fun and just amazing.
Lexi, do you ever kind of want to throw Coach a wrench into her plans and say, you know what, I'm going to play left today. She can go to right. We're just going to see if she notices.
I mean, yeah, we'd still get the job done out there, so I guess it doesn't really matter which spot we're in.
Until you take off running, you expect a fence. Like, oh, wait, I forgot where I'm at in the outfield. Communication-wise, with yourself and Lily and Amara in the outfield every game, are there certain points where the ball leaves the bat and you say, I know what to call it, but I still know this is mine. Like, Lily's not going to get there, or she just knows where I'm playing at. She's like, does that kind of figure in at all, too?
Yeah, going for this is our second year out there. We know each other's range. We know what we can and can't get to. But Lily's also a great communicator in the outfield, being loud and having that responsibility as a center fielder. She has it, and we're both confident in leaning after that.
We're talking Northwest Missouri State softball. We've got head coach Naomi Tellez with us, as well as Lexi Brown and Omar Love. Coach, with these two up and batting second and third in your order, a .353 batting average and a .529 batting average and high OBPs, when you're thinking about lineup construction, how much of it for you is, I just want someone that's going to get on base and go? How much does speed and power mix into that, too?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us was this year, how are we going to figure out how to drive the top two in? I know in the years past, we had Omara kind of at the bottom a little bit more and right in the six hole. But for us, she can do so many things that I think putting her, you know, if we needed a button in the three hole, she can do it. If we need her to drive somebody, she also can do that. And Lexi is the same thing, too. You know, Lexi, if Lily doesn't get on, Lexi can find a way on or she can move her over. Just being able to have versatility at the top of our lineup is something that is exciting to watch.
We talked about these two as well, of that signing class. Is this what you envisioned when you brought them in 2021?
Yes and no. I didn't. I mean, I knew they were going to have success, but the fun that we've had along with it, these two will keep you on your toes. I saw nothing but success when they signed here to help us out. So,
and Northwest Missouri State getting set for the Washburn Invitational this weekend. We'll see how weather shuffles that around with Missouri S&T and Wayne State set for games on Friday against the Bearcats. But we're still a couple weekends away from MIAA play actually opening up. What do you want to see out of your team here these next couple weeks, game-wise and in practice, to make sure once those conference games go, you're ready?
I think we just need to revert back to how we were weekend one. Like, I think our offense was a little slow weekend one, but our defense and pitching was solid, and we just need to get back there. Offense just to keep playing and swinging it like we are. We know conference play is hard. The travel's not easy. The weather isn't easy, but just to really focus on what we do really, really well.
And Lexi, last one for you real quick. Did you ever consider being a dual sport athlete at Northwest?
No.
For those that don't know or weren't at the games on Thursday, you hit, what, a layup, free throw, three-pointer, and a half-court shot in, what, 30 seconds?
30 seconds, yeah.
To win a TV.
Uh-huh. Stud.
I mean.
A TV that's bigger than her.
It's a large TV.
65 inches.
Did you expect yourself to make that and go down?
Like, no.
Like, were you thinking, I'll hit a layup and then I'll just
run the clock out? I know I knew the free throws were going to mess me up. And I missed two of them. And then after that, I was like, okay, I have to lock in. And then I made the free throw, made the three-pointer, and then I just hoped and just shot and threw it up there.
I like how you were like, I just had to lock in on what you're doing. It's like you're
really
at the plate.
It's embarrassing if I don't make the free throw. At least.
Yeah, well, Matt, the rim's 10 feet high, right? So you shoot from half court. That ball got maybe like 10 feet, 1 inch above, and it was a line drive.
Yeah.
But it somehow went, like, that was unbelievable. It went in. Omar, were you there?
Oh, yeah. I was there. Oh, yeah.
What, were you filming it just so you could, like, make fun of her later? Then she made it?
Well, I wasn't filming. Another friend, Sarah, was filming. But I was locked in on her watching. I was like, well, I mean, she's kind of on a roll right now. And then she made the three, and I was like, wait, she might actually have a shot at this. And then she made it, and I was just in shock. I was like, wait, she actually just did that.
Now all the parties, the rest of the time, you guys going to, you know, watch party of whatever it is, it's going to be at Lexi's house.
Oh, yeah, we know. As soon as she gets it mounted, though.
Yeah.
Right. In due time, it'll be there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, Omar, Lexi, thanks so much for coming in with us. Coach Tejas as well. Good luck this weekend in Topeka. Hopefully, you guys get to play some softball.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you.
We'll see. That's Naomi Tejas as well as Lexi Brown and Omar Love from Northwest Softball. The Bearcats off to the Washburn Invitational. We'll take a break and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW is brought to you by Agriland FS, with 18 fast stop locations in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri, including South Main and Maryville, across from Applebee's. Fast stop is open 24/7. To find the nearest location, agrilandfs.com/faststop.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com. Or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. Time now to talk baseball. A nice warm afternoon to look ahead toward baseball here. And we've got two players and one coach from the Bearcat baseball squad, assistant coach Theo Bartolomeo, and as well as a couple players in Jacob Salek and Jaron Guck. And first of all, Theo, thanks a lot for being here on the show. It's good to have you with us here today.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
And you're coming from Minnesota via Michigan. This is kind of a typical winter for you, isn't it?
Kind of used to it a little bit, yeah. And kind of really our whole coaching staff, actually. But it's nice having the facilities we have here at Northwest, being able to really develop these guys, you know, out of season, in season, with Hughes, with all the resources we have. You know, we feel like we're in a really good spot to do that.
Yeah, I would imagine that's something when you're looking at coming in and being a part of the program here, that really stood out for you.
For sure. Made it a really easy decision, and really feeling confident in year one of what we're trying to do, how we're able to advance that and kind of expedite that process in terms of where we want to be as a program down the road. We feel like we're able to get after it right away with these guys, with what we have available to us.
Well, you're coming off a week where you didn't have any baseball this past weekend. You're supposed to be in action today down in Joplin with a jury, but weather conditions obviously making it a little tough to play some baseball here today. But what's some of the big things after the first couple weekends that you've kind of had a chance to maybe sit back and look at what you've got and some things you've been working hard in the last
week? Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we really grew as a team and made a bunch of adjustments from week one to week two. And that's the biggest thing for us, is being able to make adjustments, improve, and get better every single week. And if we're doing that, we're going to reach our goal at the end of the year, which is playing the best baseball we can. As long as we keep doing that, keeping our head down, getting to work every week, focusing on the little details, the things that are going to win us games down the stretch. That's all we can do right now. So we've done a great job of that, and having the off week here has been great because it's allowed us to really hone in, work on us a little bit, and utilize that practice time where not many other programs have had the chance to do that.
What's been the biggest areas that you've seen improvement in so far?
To be honest, all areas, really. I mean, pitching was really vastly improved from week one to week two. Bunch of guys throwing strikes, commanding the fastball, using the off-speed. Defensively, made a bunch of strides, making some adjustments there. And then offensively, obviously, came out swinging the last couple games last weekend, did a really nice job. So really just working on what we're trying to do, not trying to do too much, not trying to get outside of ourselves, and stick to what we've been working on all year.
Now, you brought along a couple players with you, Jacob Sellock, along with Jaron Guck, and just kind of talk about these two guys and what they mean to the program.
Man, they've been great, and I think we've been really fortunate as a coaching staff walking into a program where we've got a really strong group of seniors that have been here a while. And Jake and infielder Jaron, a pitcher, and both guys that have played an awful lot of college baseball, and it's great to be able to have those guys in year one of what we're trying to do. Leaning on those guys and really letting them kind of be themselves a little bit. And it's been great having a really strong group of seniors, for sure.
And, Jacob, when you talk about the season you've had so far, just it looks like when you look at the roster, just up and down, you third base, center field, right field, left field, a little bit of shortstop. You're kind of an all-around just a utility guy. They can just insert you anywhere you want, and you go out and perform.
Oh, yeah. He just kind of asked me, hey, where do you want to play? And I go do it, or he tells me where to go, and I go do it. I'm an infielder at heart, but I've been learning the outfield. I've been getting some help from some of my teammates. They've helped me with that transition, just because it's been a while since I've played the outfield, but it's been a good transition, and I'm doing what I can to help the team win, and I'm enjoying doing it.
As far as infield goes, what's your favorite spot there, third base?
I guess everybody would say shortstop, okay. But I do love me some third base. Less thinking.
I guess, but you have to be on your toes down there, too.
Oh, yeah.
And at the plate, off to a pretty good start as well.
Yeah. I kind of struggled there a little bit early in that first series, and then kind of worked with Coach Hobby and Coach Bart just a little bit, kind of honing that swing in and kind of focusing more on the mental side of my at-bats, and that really helped me lock in for that second series, and got to work there.
Yeah, home run out of that series, and it looked like you got a lot of good things going there.
Yes, sir. It's definitely a work in progress and always trying to get better, but I'm proud of where I'm at, and I'm ready to keep working and get to work this weekend with some conference.
And Jaron Guck with us. Jaron, you come from St. Joe and via Truman State to the program here. Just kind of talk about your travels to get to where you're wearing a Bearcat uniform.
Born and raised in St. Joe, and then went and did my undergrad at Truman State, and then had one more year and was playing for the St. Joe Mustangs, and that's where I got discovered by Coach Jandrin. I'm happy to be here, and I've learned a lot, and I just feel like I've gotten so much better as a baseball player.
Well, you talked about playing for the Mustangs. If I understand right, a heck of a season last year, ended up winning the Mink League Championship, and you were on the mound for that final out to Miss Clarinda.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was probably one of my most favorite moments I've ever had in baseball. Growing up since 2009, just watching the Mustangs as a kid, it was always kind of a dream to play for them, so it was really cool.
Yeah, they've really got a unique thing going down there, don't they? Just the fan interest and the players bring in, it's something kind of special.
Yeah, it really is. I really am, all the fans that come there are really appreciative of that because they're the reason it is what it is, so.
And how special was that last summer, too, to be on the mound against Clarinda? That's kind of a little bit of a rivalry between those two teams.
Yeah, for sure. They always put together a good team every year, so it's always a good one to, get one on them. So.
And, Jacob, you come to Northwest Missouri State after a brief time at Highland Community College and from Liberty, Missouri initially. Just talk about your interest in becoming a Bearcat.
I'm from Liberty. I mean, that's kind of a pipeline for Northwest. So I'd always kind of looked at it. I was like, I'd like to get there. I'd want to play at the D2 level. I know there's good competition, especially in the MIAA. So right out of high school, I went to Highland, developed there. Was fortunate enough to have a pretty good game while some Northwest scouts were there, and they hit me up after that, kind of talked to me. I was like, you know what, yeah, I want to do it. We had another guy from Highland come here, Jacob Gadget, who's no longer here, but they talked to both of us, and we're kind of like, hey, we want you both here, and it was kind of an easy decision when they were talking to both of us, just knowing that they have somebody to kind of go with me and kind of feel it out a little bit. But, yeah, coming here was a really good decision for me because I'm around a lot of good friends and some really good baseball.
And just talk about this year in particular. What's some of the things that really have you excited about what's taking place so far with the new coaching staff?
Just the amount these guys care. These guys really want to see us get better. They're there every day. I mean, Coach Bart and I, along with a lot of the other infielders, are there almost every day, at least an hour early, getting extra reps in, getting extra swings in. These dudes just really want to see us succeed and want to see us have fun doing it. And I think that's really nice to see.
And, Jared, from your standpoint coming in from Truman State to here, what's some of the biggest things that you're seeing about the way things are shaping up so far?
I mean, I think we have a good group of guys, and I just think the attention to detail is really the biggest thing for me. It really feels like we have a plan for every single possible scenario that could happen. So I can really buy into that, you know, knowing that we have a plan for everything.
Now, from what I'm able to gather, pretty much as a right-handed pitcher, you're more or less a relief pitcher coming in. Is that
At Truman, I was a closer originally, but now I've transitioned into a starter role. But at the end of the day, nothing really changes your pitching, so just treat every inning like the same.
And which do you prefer?
Neither really. I just like pitching.
Just like to play, right? Yeah. Wherever they want to put you in there, too. And Theo, let's just talk about what's coming up. Again, today postponed or canceled because of the weather situation, but three-game series scheduled for this weekend down in Joplin, weather permitting.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a really good weekend, really good series. So I think we're all really looking forward to it because these guys took 2 out of 3 from, you know, those guys last year, and it's kind of a chance to kind of do the same thing on their turf again this year. And that was the team that knocked these guys out of the postseason last year in the conference tournament, and really looking to get after it against these guys. Pretty highly ranked program, and, you know, I think ours as a whole group, coaching staff, players, everybody, we're ones that kind of want to go all in for a matchup like that, and we're not ones to, you know, run away from it. We're all in on it.
I guess the thing now to look ahead to, if the forecast is correct, next week should start warming up a little bit, and I imagine everybody's looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully some home games there for the Bearcats. But, yeah, it's going to be good. Hopefully the weather's swinging in our favor here, and we'll play some home games, and it'll feel like spring.
Yeah, you talked about the home games. That's coming up next Thursday through Saturday. Concordia St. Paul coming down for them's a nice southern trip. So.
It sure is. Yep, for sure. I've been there before. Been in their shoes. You know, Minnesota guy. I mean, snow's still on the ground in March and April up there. So you know, you gotta make the trips down.
All right. Well, Theo, thanks a lot for being with us, and also Jacob and Jared. Great to have you with us on the show as well. And good luck. Hopefully this weekend get some baseball in.
For sure. Thank you.
All right. Again, we've been talking baseball here on the KXEV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're back. We've got more coming up right after this.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we're talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. The Bearcats set to head down south one last time this regular season. Matchups with Northeastern State down in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and Arkansas Fort Smith. That's coming up Thursday and Saturday. We're joined by freshman Sadie Moss and Brooklyn Stanley. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us. And starting things off, kind of hit that final stretch run. 4 games left in the regular season, only 2 road games. What do you guys make of what you've seen so far of college basketball, the lessons you've learned and kind of pulled from this point to as we hit this final stretch?
I think it's been a really good learning experience, and just kind of adjusting to it has been pretty easy, I would say. Just all my teammates have helped us just adjust in the different playing styles and all of that. So it's been really fun to learn a lot this year.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely been a lot easier to adjust with, like, such a, like, welcoming culture from everybody, like, regardless of your age, regardless of, like, your skill level. Everybody's just been super supportive around us, I feel like.
Is there some apprehension whenever you come into a program like this, an NCAA tournament squad, second in the MIAA, and then it's, now you're thrown in. Now, obviously, you're very good seniors in high school, but it's a little bit different going into college. Is there some anxiety going in thinking, like, all right, I just got to survive these first couple practices and get a feel for it before you realize they are as welcoming as they are?
I mean, I think for sure there's some nerves that come with it. It's a big jump, and it's something new. It's a big change in your life. And, yeah, I think that there were a lot of nerves with us, but they went away pretty quickly, I would say, just from how welcoming the team was. And they really just did help us adjust pretty smoothly.
Yeah, and having, like, the freshmen all in the same place, like, being, oh, we're all so nervous, and, like, after being able to just, like, come together in the first week before we had practices, oh, yeah, also helped with, I think, nerves as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you both are getting a lot of playing time here throughout your true freshman years. Brooklyn, you've started in 7 games, played in all 25, averaging about 15 minutes per game. Sadie, you've played in all 25 games, averaging about 16 minutes per contest. Coach Myers trusted you guys to step in and take on those roles. What did you envision for yourselves whenever you left high school, gone on campus, and thought about what this year could hold?
I mean, obviously, I think you have high hopes for what could happen, but I would say that I didn't expect to be where I am now, and I'm really thankful for the opportunities that I've been given, and I think Sadie can say the same, probably. But, yeah, I would say it's been a pretty awesome first-year experience, and I'm excited to learn a lot more.
Yeah, I think I've definitely grown a lot this year, like, just being able to, like, look forward, especially in high school. Like, you're the older kids, and now you're kind of starting over and just being ready for whatever's thrown at you, because we all know it's going to be a little crazy the first couple of years.
Which is a good way to look at it, too. I think a lot could go in and have pretty bruised egos the first couple of weeks if you assume you're going to go from high school senior to, you know, the main player for a team that was in the tournament a season ago. Brooklyn, for you as a guard, obviously we're seeing the final runs here for Molly Harton and Kaylee Keston, which will go down as two of the best we've seen to wear a Bearcat uniform. What do you pull from them, whether it's the way they carry themselves on the court, off the court? You kind of get that fierce look from both of them in their eyes at certain points in games. Like, what do you as a guard try to pull from them?
I think their confidence and their grit is just really inspiring, and I really admire that about both of them. And, you know, there's a lot that I've learned from them this season, whether it's about being a good teammate or offense. Like, they pick me up when I make mistakes, and they help me out. They kind of coach me through what I should be doing, and yeah, they've helped me learn a lot. And I would just say their grit and their confidence and the way they play is really cool.
Well, I mean, statistically, obviously, they've got their top five in different areas all time at Northwest Missouri State. And Kelsey Fields can say the same. She's second all time in rebounds, over 830 for her career. Sadie, you've had a lot of opportunities to kind of sub in and out for Kelsey. We talked in pregame on Saturday, I think it was, about how you've kind of stepped in as you two on the floor at the same time. How has that relationship kind of developed of two premier post players here in the MIAA?
It's definitely been a lot of fun, a lot of, I won't want to say ups and downs, but, like, definitely our relationship has grown. It's kind of like a sisterly love. Like, if I'm messing around at practice or doing something dumb, she's like, hey, like, let's get back to work. And then she'll, like, playfully be like, okay, like, now it's time to joke and have fun. But it's definitely been really fun to just get to know her throughout the last year.
And we see what you two have done. We see what those seniors are doing on their way out, too, and it's pretty special. And hoping to see that obviously carry on. I think for you two, people think about the defense and the prowess you guys bring on that side. Northeastern State coming up on Thursday. That's a big one for the Northwest to get under your belt with a chance to really solidify that spot in the MIAA tournament. What is your approach for the Riverhawks and what you guys are expecting in Tahlequah this weekend?
Oh, I think we just got to get out there, give it our all, and we only have so many games left, so we just gotta keep working for the rest of the season, like those tournaments. And I think that as a team, we can achieve that.
Sadie, do you guys think much about the tournament at this point, seeding, standings, anything?
I mean, it's definitely something that, like, you always are going to have in the back of your head, but right now, like, it's the most important, like, every single game is an opportunity, and, like, obviously, like, we want to make it to the tournament, get far, and hopefully do really well for the rest of the season, but, like, even going quarter by quarter is really what we're focusing on right now.
Northwest taking on Northeastern State on Thursday. Arkansas Fort Smith coming up on Saturday. Brooklyn, Sadie, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State women's basketball freshman Brooklyn Stanley and Sadie Moss with us. We'll take a break and be back with more on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV KRNW is brought to you by Agriland FS with 18 fast stop locations in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri, including South Main and Maryville across from Applebee's. Fast Stop is open 24/7. To find the nearest location, agrilandfs.com/faststop.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Championship Motors in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Carlson Seed, a generational family business at the Iowa-Missouri line, offering DeKalb, Asgrove Seed, Custom Spraying, and Pivot Bio. To learn more, carlsonseed.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal in Maryville and Nick Kodeman in St. Joseph, providing life, auto, and homeowners insurance and financial services. More information at 562-3882, 582-3512, or insurewithnick.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue on talking tennis on the Northwest Missouri State campus as the head coach of the Northwest men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell, is with us and member of his men's team, Luke Massetti, out of Melbourne, Australia, with us here on the show. And, Coach, finally got, had an opportunity to get your team onto the course for real last Friday down in Liberty to take on William Jewell and come away with a couple wins.
Yeah, we got a chance to play at the real nice facility down there at the Genesis, as you know, and played well. You know, on the women's team, they only had four players, so. But on the men, it was a very close match, and Luke here had a big win on a, in a tiebreaker third set, which really helped us win the match.
Yeah, 5-2 win against William Jewell on the men's side. And Luke, just kind of talk about coming in as one of the veterans on this squad this season and what it meant to be able to come up and pick up a big win in singles.
No, you know, it's always great to get a win, and especially with a lot of new guys on the team, it's always very important to see how everyone comes together, and that's what they did really well, guys and girls. I think everyone was good at supporting each other, and especially we didn't start too well, but near the end winning five of the six singles was a very positive sign for things to come, that everyone was able to fight and push and support each other to get a good win.
And you had a kind of a tough loss there at number one doubles, but one of the things I've always found in doubles, with the great thing about doubles is you can always blame your partner in those, and I know I do when I'm on the same court with the Mark here. So. But still a great win there, and what are some things you feel like you can build on off of that win?
Oh, you know, well, definitely confidence is one. You know, you've got a lot of people from a lot of different leagues, you know, got some guys from JUCOs, NAIAs, a couple freshmen as well, so just getting someone that experience, and it's always very different playing matches with the team environment. You got a couple guys next to you, you're all hyping each other up, and that's where the team aspect comes in. You know, everyone's cheering very loudly. You're all there to get the win together, and definitely getting that match fitness, the mental toughness to push through. Like we had me and Dom at 2-2 third set wins, and that's what changed the momentum in our favor. So that's always those tight moments. Doubles is only one set, so you really got to make it count in the opportunities that you have.
As a veteran now of this program, with a lot of, as you talked about, some newer players coming into the program this year, what do you see as your role on this team to help bring them along?
Well, I mean, even from having the guys last year, you know, we had a lot of 4-5 year players, and definitely that team spirit, the camaraderie that they had for each other. And tennis is a very individual sport, but here we're all a family, guys and girls. You know, we do conditioning in the mornings together, we practice together, and that's what's really important here, and what me and Vinny, the other captain, we try and foster with the new guys as we're about to head off. We really want to put the team in good hands, that everyone's not just teammates, but we're friends on and off the court, and that's very big in the important moments, that you can look left and right and see people that actually want you to succeed.
Mark, just talk a bit about Luke and what you see that he brings to the table here.
Well, if you know Luke, you know that he's got a wonderful attitude, probably the hardest working guy on the team. He's always, if he's not lifting weights or practicing or running, and it's made him a better player because he's completely bought in to getting better, and he is getting better by what he showed us against William Joe the other day. So, you know, as being a co-captain, that kind of bleeds off to the rest of them. They see what he's doing and whatever, and that's a good thing.
Luke, you come from Melbourne, Australia. This time of year in Australia, it's a little bit warmer than what it is here, right?
Yeah, just a little bit warmer. But I mean, in the spring here, it's lovely. So we're just waiting for it to warm up a little bit, and then once we get outside, it'll be good for everyone.
Now, the Australian Open just concluded here a couple weeks ago. Do you ever have a chance when you're there to kind of take in the Australian Open?
Oh, absolutely. Every year. It's a wonderful, wonderful venue that they've got there. I mean, just the weather's lovely, the people, and you get to see players from all around the world and at the top of the sports. That's always a good inspiration to see how tough it is and how hard these guys work to make it to the top. And especially being a young kid and seeing that, it's tough not to get inspired and motivated to try and be there one day.
Mark, let's just kind of talk about, getting your first match underway last week with William Jewell. You've got a little time off now after the first match, and a lot of times it's an opportunity to just kind of see what you have, especially with the number of new players you're bringing into the program. What's been the impression you had after the chance that they had to face some actual competition?
Well, I really like the singles on the men. We lost the number one match, but then with the pressure on, we were down 2-0. We won 5 straight singles match, 2 through 6. Now, we're still working on doubles. That's a work in progress right now, and I don't know exactly when we're going to get that rendered, but we're working on it, and that's kind of what we're trying to do on the men. The women, you know, there was 4 singles and 2 doubles matches, so I didn't really get to see them all play, but I will on the next matches that they play.
And again, you've got some matches down the line, obviously, before you get into conference play as well, but kind of with the weather situation, a little bit of flux here, but down the line, you know, you'll be heading down to Springfield here before too long.
Yeah, we're going to play Drury and Maryville University, and I think we're going to get a makeup match from what we lost last weekend. I think we'll go over to St. Louis on that Sunday and play Missouri St. Louis, too, a team we played here last year. So we got a lot of tennis coming up.
All right, one final thing with you, Luke, not only on the court, but let's just talk about the academic-wise. What are you studying right now, and what's the future look for you?
I'm doing an MBA, so Master's in Business Administration, and that's a good degree. You know, it's well recognized here, and that's a good thing. That's what I love about the college aspect, is you can have both the tennis and the study just to have a good basis. Then when we graduate and finish up, that there's something to look for in the future. I mean, I think tennis is always going to be a part of my life, and we'll see how big it is after the season. But definitely looking to find some job in back home in Australia.
You know, and that's one thing that I might touch on just a little bit before I let you go. When we say tennis is going to be always a part of your life, that's one thing about the sport of tennis. It's a lifetime sport. You can keep playing the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
And we know that well, don't we, John?
That's right. That is correct. Again, we are broadcasting from Pizza Ranch on the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. My thanks to Head Coach Mark Roswell, along with Luke Massetti from the Northwest men's tennis team. We'll be back. We'll be talking basketball right after this. Coach's Show. It's time now to talk men's basketball, as we're joined by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Matt Keeley, along with Patrick Gallagher from the men's squad here. And again, for both of you, great to have you with us here on the show.
great to be here, John. We're inside at least today,
oh,
you know,
my goodness.
Staying nice and warm. And what else can you ask for?
No,
who has it better than us, right?
That's right. That's right. Reminder, too, you're listening to KXCV, Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe. And, again, Patrick Gallagher is with us as well, coming from Dyersville, Iowa. So you're used to a little bit of this type of weather this time of year, aren't you, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Coach, let's just briefly talk a bit about this past week, a couple of games at home with Missouri Southern and Pittsburgh State. Just overall, when you look at those two matchups, what are some main things that came out of it for you?
Well, I mentioned earlier, like, I liked that. I thought both of those games had really good, you know, flow to them, up and down, and you know, some energy to them. The second one, the first one was Southern, you know, it was just a possession game, and we're just right there, and you know, couldn't close it there in the last 2 minutes, and you know, I think I heard Patty say, you know, maybe had done some things that had given us a shot or earned it, but sometimes it's not, life's not always fair, and we talked about that a little bit. You know, as a group, that even early this week, and then the Pitt State game, you know, just such a I mean, runs happen in all college basketball games, but 35-12 and then 24-0 right after that, all in the first half, all in 15 minutes. You know, I don't know what it looked like, you know, from the booth up top or even from the fans' perspective, but a pretty wild swing there, you know, from the bench and from the sideline.
Yeah, that was a fun run to watch. And Javion Byers, it looked like, really made some big plays there. And, of course, everybody got into it as well. But one of the things that really stood out to me in that run was just how well he took advantage of the turnovers and quickly turned those into points at the other end.
Yeah, human nature to really get on a roll, you know, when your offense is going well. We're still trying to, you know, learn that, hey, sometimes our defense can jump start us, but I think that's what happened. You know, our ball screen defense got a little more aggressive coming out of the timeout there and was able to cause some turnovers that led to some easy ones. And then, you know, you see it go in a couple times, and you got the belief that it's going to go in a few more. And Javion, a big part of that spurt, scoring it. But, you know, to go, that's the 24 part of it. But the O part of it is important, too, where you're not giving points back. And whether it was rebounding the ball or forcing him into some turnovers, you know, a really good spurt for us.
Again, we mentioned Patrick Gallagher is with us. And, Coach, I think on one of the pregame shows we talked a couple, 3 weeks ago, how it looked like Patrick's really coming into his own there with offense and getting some things blowing. Just talk about what he means to your team.
Yeah, you know, Patty's a guy that I like just personally. A lot of that has to do with his demeanor, and sometimes guys give him a hard time, you know, about his level of intensity or being fired up. But I absolutely enjoy coaching guys that, you know, you got to calm down a little bit more than fire up, and Patty fits into that. And you know, he's so hard on himself. He wants to be great, and individual moments that he's not, you know, he beats himself up and. You know, just wants to help the group. He wants to be out there. And so he spends, you know, in my opinion, too much time sometimes as freshmen will do in a headspace that, you know, is not helping him. But he's grown in that way throughout this entire season. His stretches of playing well have extended, you know, and he wants to play 40, you know. But we're well aware that as a freshman that's in there that's impacting and has been in our rotation all year, has started games, you know, for us early in the year and whose shooting percentages are climbing, certainly a guy that we're excited about.
No, Patty, you look at the last couple weeks, 12-point game against Rogers State, 9 against Central Oklahoma, 11 against Missouri Southern. Really looks like you're kind of getting your groove there on the offensive side.
Yeah, for sure the last couple of weeks have been much better games for me personally. There was a stretch during the season I wasn't shooting very well, and I just kept working at it. The coaches told me they still believed in me. They just wanted me to keep shooting it. Same with my teammates, and I think once I hit a couple, I think it just kind of it clicked for me there.
And I imagine that's something that's very important, too, when you're getting that positive feedback from your coaches and your teammates, that really has to help you out there.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Because then you don't feel like you're alone, and everybody else sees it, and it's easier when everybody else has your back as well.
And he's, you know, got himself going a little bit too as a cutter, where he's got to lay it in some, you know, where he commits to trying to run and transition for as long as he can, trying to get out and buy into that and put some pressure on the rim, where it's not just a deal where, hey, if I'm making shots, I have a good game, and if I'm not making shots, you know, I have a bad game. He's learning and developing on how to impact the game offensively, not just beyond three-point line. Obviously, that's what he does naturally well and what he's worked at the most, but trying to get him to the free throw line some, you know, trying to get him to the rim some, whether that's in transition or in the half court, and then always inside of our scheme defensively, and you know, as the whole year is built, as you know, Trey and Jack and Patty and Javion and Marcus, guys that, you know, will have years of eligibility left, you know, building like, hey, let's continue to be good at the things that we think are going to happen a lot, and I think Patty's certainly shown a lot of growth in that stuff.
Coming in, Class 2A All-State performer in Iowa, also a Player of the Year Class 2A from the Iowa Basketball Coaches Association. Patty, what's been the biggest adjustment you've had to make from the high school level to the college level?
The speed, I think. In high school, it was really easy to just, like, it was, I don't know how to explain it, but once you get to college, it was like the first month for me was very hard, trying to adjust to how fast everything was, and everybody on the court is very capable of scoring or playing defense. In high school, sometimes every team has their weak spot, but in college, it's just everybody's there for a reason.
Did they match you up to guard the weak spot, or did you take on some defensive challenges in high school?
I was 4 feet taller than everybody else okay. on my team, so I usually guarded the big guy.
Talking about Dyersville and high school, your community is pretty well represented in the MIAA yeah. for a community. It's, what, a little over 4,000 there, but Michael Keegan over at Washburn, Dyersville native.
Yeah, he is. He was a big part of why I think I chose to pursue basketball a lot. When he was a senior, I was a freshman. I didn't end up playing quite a bit because they had a really good team that year. But just being on the team with him and, like, seeing what he was doing, that allowed him to get to where he is now. And I think it is wild that, like, I won't be able to play him next year, but I got to play him twice this year. That was really fun. Just, like, when you go out in the court and there's a little moment where we were guarding each other and he kind of, like, twisted me or something. But, yeah.
What is the Dyersville mascot for you guys?
A blazer.
A blazer. A blazer.
Yeah.
A couple blazers out
like
there.
A chevron.
Okay. Yeah.
If I remember right, too, was last year over in Topeka, they kind of had, it seemed like pretty much the entire town of Dyersville invaded Lee Arena for that game between you and Washburn.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's funny because his grade and my grade have a lot of siblings that connect. So there, a lot of families just went down to watch that. And obviously I wasn't playing, so they all had on the Michael Keegan outfits and stuff. I mean, they're pretty popular with Washburn's crowd down there, which is kind of funny.
Well, we have to bring up some green jerseys and memorabilia for them to put on for the next time they want to come down this way.
Yep, absolutely.
Of course, I imagine a lot of people know of Dyersville from baseball more than anything with the Fields of Dream. I just kind of talk a little bit about how is it Dyersville kind of getting invaded with tourists during the summertime?
Yeah, I worked at the Field of Dreams for like 2 years, freshman, sophomore year of high school. And like every day there was at least three charter buses of people from not only all over the country, but like there was a lot of people from Japan, a lot of people from Europe, yeah. I mean, it was a lot. And for me, it was always just like, it's a literal dirt field with corn around it. So I never really understood it, but I guess to other people, it's pretty special. So,
Did they play a major league game there?
Yeah.
They started doing that.
Yeah. Right? I got to work that, and I got free tickets to that. So that was actually really cool. And they're going to start doing more stuff. I just told him they have Tim McGraw. He's going to perform at the Field of Dreams. So, I mean, it's really weird. We're such a small town, and now we're getting, like, the biggest events. So, it's kind of fun.
I guess it's just amazing what a very popular movie can do for a community.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Coach, let's look at this upcoming weekend. Another trip down to Oklahoma. We just got back from one trip down there. Have to head back again to Northeastern State, and then a trip over to face Arkansas Fort Smith. First ever meeting between the two teams in that matchup. But just talk about going back down to Oklahoma.
Yeah, those two teams on the men's side, you know, had a big weekend last weekend. Both of them were able to beat Washburn, giving them their first and second losses of the season on you know, back-to-back games. So, one, I think it shows the depth of our league, but But also, you know, just shows that on any given night, you know, you got to show up and play your best. And so, you know, had a good one yesterday and plan on another one today in order to get after that. I thought particularly we had a defensive drill yesterday that was maybe as good as, not necessarily from execution, but just from intensity and intentionality, maybe was really high level. And I think that's what's awesome about this group is – we're 24 games in and, you know, certainly haven't had the success that we've wanted. And with the you know, exception of maybe two games this year, there haven't been very many days that our guys don't show up and play hard. You know, there's always levels to it. We're always searching for a little bit more, as good coaching staffs do. But they play hard and they haven't individualized. You know, they haven't gone off into left field and, well, if our group's not going to get ours, then I'm going to get mine. You know, I think we've avoided those two things for the most part. And, you know, we're looking to break through then and get rewarded for that. We think we've earned some here to in our preparation. And now we got to earn one on a game night.
All right. Sounds great. And again, Coach Keeley, along with Patrick Gallagher, great to have you both with us on the show here.
Hey, thanks. Thank you.
All right. Again, we are broadcasting from the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Don't forget, we've got basketball coming up on Thursday. The Northwest women's game will tip off at 5:30, and the men at 7:30. Both games can be heard right here on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, with their pregame beginning at 5 o'clock. That'll do it for the Coaches Show for this week. For Matt Tritt, and I'm John Coffey, and so long from Pizza Ranch.